study through Matthew's Gospel verse by verse every Sunday. Today, three verses summarize Matthew's entire 28-chapter Gospel. Three verses sum up all 66 books of the Bible. Three verses that simplify who Jesus is and what He wants to do. Jesus' personal invitation is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Jesus' personal invitation. These three verses are all about who Jesus is. A friend of mine is trying to memorize a Bible text from all 66 books of the Bible, like something from Genesis, something from Exodus. And he just told me week before last that the text he's memorizing from Matthew is Matthew 11, 28 through 30, because it summarizes who Jesus is and what He wants to do. Now, Matthew that wrote this Gospel, he himself had accepted Jesus' personal invitation. Jesus knew we would feel weary and burdened. He knew we would have anxiety and inner turmoil. He knew we would grow physically tired and emotionally drained and exhausted. Think of your experience. Did you ever feel like you're running on empty? Weary, burdened, anxiety, inner turmoil, pain, anger, grief, addictions, unforgiveness? Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." A couple weeks ago, we agreed that no one gets to skate through life trouble-free. Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And He meant that all of us will have troubles and no one is exempt. But sometimes trials and temptations and the burdens of life threaten to swallow us up and consume us. Things like, how are we going to make ends meet financially? Or how are we going to stand strong against temptation? Or how are we going to solve trouble in our relationships? How are we going to forgive somebody that has really, really hurt us? How are we going to let go of guilt from stuff in our past? How do we manage our time and our health? And what do we do when a loved one goes astray spiritually? These worries and questions occupy our time and our energy. Burdens and troubles are reality in all of our lives. And sometimes we just wish there was a good 10-step guide for every big life issue, but there's not. So today, three Bible verses sum up very well Jesus' personal invitation. So this morning I'd like for us to read it again and try to see if we can't surface in our Bible study three elements of Jesus' personal invitation that brings spiritual rest. Look at it again. "Come to Me," He says, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Now, these three verses that present Jesus' personal invitation, they really have three action steps that you and I are invited to take. And I wonder if we couldn't surface those action steps together, three parts. We'll do our Bible study and surface those together, and then close our Bible study with some points of practical application that would really help bring rest for your soul and mine. Well, the first action step then surfaces in just the first three words of verse 28, "Come to Me." That's number one. Jesus says, "Come to Me." That's His invitation. And isn't it beautiful in its simplicity? When you get invited, you feel valued and wanted because you've been included and welcomed. But this word "come" does imply separation and distance. Since we're not with Him, He invites us to come and be with Him. And so, He does imply separation and distance between God and man. Separation and distance between me and God. Remember the theme of the Bible? In seven words, God reconciling man to Himself through Christ. That's what all 66 books of the Bible are about. God reconciling man to Himself through Christ. And so this invitation of Matthew 11:28 still stands today. "Come to Me," Jesus says, "all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It means if you want to be saved, you've got to come to Christ. God's done all He can do. Now you've got to come to Christ. Max Lucado said, if there are 1,000 steps between us and God, God will take all but one. And He will leave that final step for us. It is our choice. The choice is ours. So, in order to come to Him, in order to do so, we must, number one, come on His terms. Come on His terms. The Bible shows us how people came to Christ originally. In the New Testament, thousands and thousands of people came to Christ on His terms, leaving us a pattern to do the same. They would hear the gospel, they would believe it in faith. With a soft heart, they would turn from their sinfulness toward God. They would make a public profession of faith, and they would be buried in Christian baptism like Jesus was buried in the tomb, and they would be raised to walk in newness of life. We must come on Christ's terms. Second, in order to do so, you must, number two, come as you are. Come as you are. God loves you just the way you are today. But of course, He loves you too much to leave you this way. Come as you are. Some mistakenly think they must first get their lives straightened out before they can come to Christ. So they're waiting till they get rid of their bad habits and till they stop using bad words and till they stop having bad attitudes. Friends, that's a big mistake. You should never wait to come to Christ. Come as you are. Then you and Jesus team up together for the rest of your lives to be conformed into His likeness. Yeah, you should come on His terms and come as you are. And third and finally, the Bible says, number three, come immediately. Come immediately. Today is the day of salvation. Not after you get your life straightened out. Not after you take care of business. Not after you get married. Not after you have children. Not after your children are older. Not after you're retired. Come immediately. Because today you can exchange your burdens for His rest. Wouldn't that be good? If you could exchange your weariness for His joy. Imagine if you could exchange your anxiety for His peace. What a deal. What a Savior. His personal invitation comes to you today, but the responsibility rests on you to come. Well, the second element of Jesus' personal invitation that brings spiritual rest in verse 29, number 2, take my yoke. Take my yoke. See, all we're really doing in this Bible study is identifying the three verbs or the three action words. First, He says, come to me. And then He says, take my yoke. Now, a yoke was made of wood, hand-hewn to fit the neck and shoulders of the particular animal that was to wear it. Its purpose was for working. The yoke was part of the harness used to pull a cart or a plow or to move a heavy mill beam. And a master used a yoke to keep his animal under control. The yoke made the animal useful. Wouldn't you like to be useful? Well, you have to be yoked. The yoke harnessed the animal's energies and abilities for constructive work and purposes. So the yoke becomes a metaphor for submitting to Christ, for obeying His commands, for yielding our will to His, for following His example in daily life, and for laboring in His harvest fields for souls. To take the yoke in that day meant then to become Jesus' disciple. When we submit to Christ, we are yoked with Him. And verse 30 adds, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That word easy means well-fitting. It's well-fitted just for you. Jesus designs a yoke that just fits you. Yeah, He has a great plan for your life, and His yoke is what that's about. Christ has just the yoke that is tailor-made for your life and for your needs. God has a great plan for your life, and it is personally fitted to you in the form of this yoke. So maybe taking His yoke includes three things. First, then, when Jesus says, be with me, that's connection. Connection. Jesus wants to be connected to you. Yokes are made for two and not one. We were not made to go through life apart from God. The Christian life is a community life. And His yoke fits you well, and it is lighter than the one we've been pulling by ourselves. That's connection. Last Sunday, Sarah and I worshiped with our friends Eli and Marlene Stepp in Henderson, Nevada, after two deaths in their family. Then we all went to see that new movie in theaters, The Shack. And 10 years ago, when that book, The Shack, came out, I gave that book to everybody who would read it. People were tired of seeing me coming because I carried that book and I took it into prisons and I gave it to prisoners that I had visited. And I remember one time I went back the next month and this prisoner said, hey, I can't give you your book back. I said, oh, that's okay. I don't need the book back. And he said, well, I gave it to another inmate. And it helped him so much that he gave it to another inmate. And it helped him so much. I said, oh, that's great. One prisoner passed it around to the other. But I gave The Shack to several other fellow strugglers. And I think this movie could really explain to our culture who God is, that He is with us when we suffer, and that God is for us. Because a lot of times when you go through hard times, you don't feel like God is for you, do you? I don't either. You know, you go through hard times, and they last a long time, the hard times, and you begin to feel like God's not for you. So my sermon today comes with sort of some homework or an assignment. Maybe it's a field trip of sorts. I'd like you to get a hold of that book, The Shack, and read it if you can. And by the end of the month, I'd like for you to go see that movie. It's in Springfield theaters right now. Our friends will have it up at the Arley before the end of the month. And I think God could really use this movie to explain to our culture who God is, and that God is with us when we suffer, and that He is there to help us. Yeah, that's connection. By the way, Sarah and I got home Monday from spending the weekend with the Steps, and I just throw this in, no charge. Our tax return was in our mailbox, and it covered the cost of our trip almost to the dollar. Hey, you know what I say? Where God guides, He provides. God is with us. That's connection. But secondly, when Jesus says, "Follow me," that's direction. That's direction. The yoke pictures two people pulling in the same direction. I cannot be yoked with Jesus and go my own way anymore. No, instead it must be His attitudes, His ways, His will, His direction. Once I enter this yoke, it's not about me and my feelings and my preferences and my wishes. It's not about me. The yoke means His direction. Jesus first, others second, myself last. God keep me steadfast. That little rhyming prayer would be good for us to pray every day as our day begins. Jesus first, others second, myself last. God keep me steadfast. Because inside there is this battle where we want to put ourselves first, even in our homes or in our workplaces or in our churches. And that's not Jesus' way. No, when we enter into this yoke, we put Jesus first, others second, myself last. And we pray, God keep me steadfast. And thirdly, when Jesus says, "Work with me," that's cooperation. Yeah, by being yoked, we mean cooperating with Jesus. So you have connection, direction, cooperation, and the result, rest for your soul. It's good. What I'm talking about is good. Take my yoke, He says. That's the second element of Jesus' personal invitation. But the third and final element of Jesus' personal invitation serves us also in verse 29, "Learn from me." You probably already knew I was going to say that. That's the third verb or the third action word. He said, "Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me." Oh, friends, Jesus is gentle and humble. You never need to fear what He might do in your life. And the more you learn from Him, the more rest you find in Him. Learning from Jesus includes reading our Bibles and reflecting on what we've read. Learning from Jesus includes personal prayer time and listening for God's voice. Learning from Jesus includes corporate worship like this hour and group Bible study and discussion. Learning from Jesus includes relationships where we share our lives with others. Learning from Jesus requires study and concentration, so we value Bible study. Years ago, a man watched a farmer plowing his field with a team of oxen. He noticed one ox was much bigger than the other. So he decided to ask the farmer about it. And the farmer explained, "Oh yeah, this bigger ox, he's the best ox I've ever had. He knows exactly what to do and how to pace himself. And the reason I put the younger ox with the older, more experienced ox is so the younger one can learn. Because by himself, that younger ox would pull himself to death. But yoked together, he learns." You ever feel like an ox that's pulling yourself to death? Friends, rest comes from obedience to Jesus' commands. Rest comes in learning from Jesus. And when it comes to learning, first we find rest once we learn the yoke's on us. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus never gives us a burden too heavy to carry. Instead, we find rest when we learn the yoke's on us. Secondly, we find rest when we learn the yoke's on Him. You want to be yoked with Jesus. He's the strong one. He's the wise one. And you learn strength and wisdom by being yoked with Jesus. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "The heaviest end of a cross always lies on Jesus' shoulders. And if He bids us carry a burden, He carries it also." Some of you are carrying a burden. You have a heavy cross to bear.
I like what Spurgeon said, the heaviest end of a cross always lies on Jesus' shoulders, and if He bids us carry a burden, He carries it also. Dr. George McCausland was the director of the YMCA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But the Y was losing membership, it had bad finances and terrible staff problems. George McCausland found himself working 85 hours a week, getting very little sleep at night. He took a little time off, but all he could do was worry and fret about problems at work. So George McCausland took a walk in the western Pennsylvania woods, and as he went, he could just feel his body and his neck start to relax. He sat down under a tree and sighed. And for the first time in months, he found relaxation. He got out his pad and paper, and he wrote God this letter. He wrote, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe." And then with a twinkle in his eye, George McCausland said, "And wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." Do any of you need to resign today as general manager of the universe? I've found out sometimes my problem is that I need to resign as general manager of the universe. Learn from me. We find rest when we learn the yokes on Him. Third and finally, we find rest once we learn that no one gets tired of a really good yoke. No one gets tired of a really good yoke. It's form-fitted to you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The New Living Translation says, "For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." Friends, our world offers only weariness and burdens and anxiety and addictions. So Christ's words are for tired people, emotionally exhausted from the pursuits of life, mentally fatigued after seeking the world yet empty, spiritually lost, in need of the Savior. And we find rest once we learn that no one gets tired of a really good yoke. So I have great news today. If you feel like a mouse running on a wheel in a cage, Jesus' personal invitation is to you today. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. You see those verbs, those action words, come, take, learn. Now some of you are resting your souls in a temporary parking space and you don't even know it. Some of you are resting your souls today in a temporary parking space. Maybe I could preach this for a minute to somebody. Some of you are resting your souls today in a temporary parking space and you're all giddy because you've landed your dream job and you're resting your soul there. But that's a big mistake. It's just temporary for a season. Others of you are all giddy because you've had a baby and you found some temporary joy and you're resting your soul in the wrong place, a place that cannot last. Some of you are reveling because you've moved into your dream home and you're resting your soul there, but it's a mistake because there's no rest for your soul in that house. Some of you are resting your soul in the fact that you have good health, but that's also just a temporary resting place. Some of you are all giddy, resting your soul in your grandchildren or your retirement or your family. These are all good things, but none of them bring rest to the soul. There's no lasting rest for your soul there or anywhere else except in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old hymn that says, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Friend, are you mistakenly leaning on some sweet frame today? Are you resting your soul in a temporary parking space? You and I came into this world with nothing, and you can rest assured that we will go out in the very same way. And I want you to find true, permanent rest for your soul, not these mistaken, temporary parking spaces. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Well, that's our Bible study for today. Three wonderful verses. So if you're not following Christ, the only way you can ever make peace with God is by coming to Jesus as your Savior. But if you're already walking with Jesus as your Savior, yet you feel like you're running on empty, if you already know Him and you're trying to live the victorious Christian life, but today you feel weary and burdened, let me close with several points of practical application. Because maybe two or three of these ideas could bring you peace and rest. God wants you to have peace and rest. Let me make several suggestions as we close. The first take home then from our Bible study today, number one, be sure to take one day off every week. Be sure to take one day off every week. If you're weary and burdened and you feel heavy laden and you can't find rest for your soul, maybe you should start here. The fourth commandment reads, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." God designed you and me to rest from our work one day in seven. Now, I know for some of you, that'd mean you'd have to start working 4, 5, or 6 days a week. Yeah, maybe you feel meaninglessness today because you don't do nothing. No, I'm serious. You know, God gave us work because it's a good thing, and it gives us a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. And so maybe you can't find rest because you're not doing anything with your life. But at the other end of the spectrum, maybe you're working too much, and you should be sure to take one day off every week. An author, Dr. Matthew Sleeth, has an excellent book entitled 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. Friend, if we don't observe any kind of Sabbath, we eventually run out of energy. Be sure to take one day off every week. But there's a second take-home from all this Bible study today. Number two, practice a daily quiet time. Practice a daily quiet time. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, wouldn't it be better, though, than living with weariness and being heavy laden? Practice a daily quiet time. Spend a few minutes with God in the morning, and He'll provide additional energy and peace of mind throughout the day. Read one of the Psalms or a chapter from the New Testament. Ask God in prayer to anoint your tasks for the day. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Practice a daily quiet time. The third way that I would suggest that you could find help in finding rest for your soul, number three, listen to uplifting Christian music or a Bible teacher. Listen to uplifting Christian music or a Bible teacher. And I just thought of this, how I do this, I just thought of this in the past 24 hours and thought I would tell you. On Wednesdays, I watch David Jeremiah. On Thursdays, I watch Stephen Furtick. On Fridays, I watch T.D. Jakes. On Saturdays, I watch Bobby Schuller. Tonight, I'll watch Joel Osteen. When I can find them, I watch Joyce Meyer and Christine Kane. I love good preaching, and I like variety, as you can tell. And I have no criticism for any of these people that I just mentioned aloud, probably because I've been trying to preach for 40 years. Find several preachers you really like and listen to their sermons. The Bible is meat for the inner man and milk for the soul. And when the Bible is taught effectively, our spirits are fed and energized. So if you really want to find rest for your soul, I'd suggest you listen to uplifting Christian music or a Bible teacher. A fourth take-home, number four, enjoy a hobby that has nothing to do with your assigned responsibilities. I'm probably talking to somebody today who needs to enjoy a hobby that has nothing to do with your assigned responsibilities. Someone said we need three things to keep us going: someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for. An anticipated hobby gives you something exciting to look forward to and can provide energy to endure draining tasks. You'll be a better worker, a better friend, a better family member, less weary and anxious if you enjoy a hobby that has nothing to do with your assigned tasks. If you want to hold out over the long haul, you should take my advice in this. But the fifth take-home from today's Bible study, number five, get into a healthy group. Get into a healthy group. Life lived well for the Lord Jesus Christ is a life that is lived in healthy groups. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. But listen, friend, it's better than living with weariness and burdens and meaninglessness and anxiety. You say, well, I don't have time. And I say to you, talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. I used to have this friend who would always tell me, well, if I had as much time as you have, I would do thus and so. And so I was a young man, and I just listened to this. But after about 20 times, I started praying about it. And I decided the next time he told me that, I was going to answer him. And so he said that again. He said, well, if I had as much time as you have, I would do thus and so. And I said, hey, I have good news for you today. I want to ask you something. Did you ever get a week that only had 6 days? And he looked at me like a mule looking at a new gate. And I said, no, I'm just being serious. Did you ever have a week that only had 6 days? Did you get robbed of a day in your week once in a while? He didn't know what to say. I said, did you ever get a day where you only had 23 hours? He said, well, no. I said, you know what? The good news is you've got as much time as me. You do. I only get 7 days in my week. I've never had a week with 8 days. I've wanted it. It never happened. I've never had a day with 25 hours. It's funny I'm telling you this story today because just yesterday we had a day with only 23 hours. Go figure, God's timing. But you know what? My day only had 23 hours too. Exactly. And so my point is, you have just as much time as anybody else has. And you'd do well if you want to overcome weariness or heavy burdens or meaninglessness, get into a healthy group. It is not good that a man should be alone. Who said that? It is not good that a man should be alone. God said that in the early chapters of the Bible, but do you believe Him? Develop one or two close, trusted friends. The Bible teaches us to bear one another's burdens. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Every Christian needs to be in a Bible study group. Whether it's a men's group, or a women's group, or a prayer group, or a service group, or a youth group, or a Sunday school class, something. If you're not, something important is missing. Two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Ecclesiastes 4:9. The Christian life is a community life, and they're no lone rangers. You want to overcome weariness? Get into a healthy group. Not all groups are healthy. Get into a healthy group. But there's a sixth take-home from today's Bible study that would help you overcome weariness and being heavy laden and a sense of meaninglessness. Number six, take a mission trip with a church group. Take a mission trip with a church group. There's something about getting out of town and getting out of your comfort zone and having to trust God in a risky environment that's healthy for us. To witness Christians in developing countries who have so little of this world's goods and yet are extremely joyful in their faith, it humbles me and convicts me and somehow energizes my soul. When my sons were teenagers, I witnessed how their hearts were changed for the Lord Jesus Christ when they served in Mexico and in the Dominican Republic. You want to overcome weariness? You have an anxiety that you're having to deal with? You trying to cope with a strong sense of meaninglessness? Take a mission trip with a church group. But there's a seventh suggestion I have, number seven. Occasionally take a long break from your routine. Occasionally take a long break from your routine. Moses taught the Israelites that their fields were to be left unplanted every 7 years, not only to rest the soil, but also to re-energize the farmer. Jesus' public ministry lasted only 3 years, yet He spent the first 40 days alone in the wilderness. Some people say they cannot afford to take long breaks, but the truth is they likely cannot afford not to. The cemetery is full of people who thought themselves to be indispensable. And when they passed, the world moved on without them. Occasionally, take a long break from your routine. Eighth and final suggestion I think that I would share with you is very practical, that would help you overcome weariness and burdens and anxieties and addictions and meaningless. Number eight, get some exercise regularly. Yeah, get some exercise regularly. 1 Timothy 4:8, physical training is of some benefit. Exercise the body for the sake of the soul. A preacher and author that many of us admire named John Piper wrote, "For the sake of kingdom purposes, I am off to the gym 3 times a week. 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. My friend who just turned 100 does his exercises at home.